Thanks for listening and for being a part of Jason Q's Citizen and Friends on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hello and welcome to the Jason Q Citizen and Friends program. And as we always say, what a time it is to be alive. You know, it wasn't that long ago when the topics that I'm about to introduce to you as headlines were once considered conspiracy theory. And perhaps we can start the show by mentioning sudden adult death syndrome. And I thought it was something that was brand new, invented in the days post the Pfizer-Moderna gene therapy that is masquerading as a vaccine. But apparently this organization's been around for some time. And there's an article out at the moment from MSN that is telling us all about this fad, doctors trying to determine why many young people are suddenly dying. People aged under 40 are being urged to have their hearts checked because they may potentially be at risk of sudden adult death syndrome. The syndrome, known as SADS, has been fatal for all kinds of people, regardless of whether they maintain a fit and healthy lifestyle. SADS is an umbrella term to describe unexpected deaths in young people, said the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners, most commonly occurring in people under 40 years of age. The term is used when a postmortem cannot find an obvious cause of death. Let's pause just there for a moment. Everyone is aware of SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. Now, there are approximately 185 ways that a child can die. One of them is not vaccine, according to the SIDS organization, because when the postmortem is conducted, there is nowhere to tick that the child died from vaccine injury. So therefore, it stands to reason that SADS would also be looking for other reasons where the postmortem cannot find an obvious cause of death because it's not allowed to look for one. The US-based SADS Foundation has said that over half of the 4,000 annual SADS deaths of children, teens or young adults have one of the top two warning signs present. Those signs include a family history of a SADS diagnosis, wow, or sudden unexplained death of a family member and fainting or seizure during exercise or when excited or startled, reported news.com.au. Last year, a 31-year-old woman, Catherine Key, died in her sleep while living with two friends in Dublin. Her mother, Margarita Cummins, told the Irish Mirror they're all working from home, so no one really paid attention when Catherine didn't come down for breakfast. They sent her a text at 11:20 a.m. and when she didn't reply, they checked her room and found she had passed. Her friend heard a noise in her room at 3:56 a.m. and now believes that's when she died. And the mother said that she went to the gym and walked 10,000 steps every day. So that's the first headline story that we find today. Now, of course, the memes are out from the headline story earlier, which was the Queen and her Jubilee, and of course, the Great Golden Carriage featuring a hologram. A hologram of the Queen, and now everyone's paying attention and it's been reported in the Daily Mail and other areas. So here's the point. When did holograms become a real thing? All of a sudden, they're accepted in society. No one's saying a single word about the old hologram. Could it well be that we're being set up for the great event when it all turns bad, and that of the ET alien invasion? Now, today, the World Bank has warned of a debt crisis. Well, they're really on the ball, aren't they? And this is, by nature, the Great Reset. As if the Great Reset and that clown over there, Klaus Schwab, has some sort of prophetic ability, or whether, of course, it's by design. More headlines making the news today. Lettuce no longer available at your local fast food burger joint or chicken outlet. Can you believe it? And now it's being replaced by cabbage. Good luck with that one. And another article out has just confirmed that there is one hypnotherapist out of Uvalde, a Joe Barker, and comparisons are being made with the MKUltra project going on there. And of course, we have interviewed Fiona Barnett on this show all about MKUltra in Australia, which was further supported by the ABC in an article that they put out in August of last year. So all of these stories would be considered conspiracy less than 12 months ago. And yet today, all of them are headline stories. I'm thrilled that on today's show, I have got one of the absolute superstars of our movement, the Truth Movement. Dave O'Neagues will be joining me in just a moment, and we're going to be able to check on the work that he's doing at the moment, but also in the work that he's been doing for quite a few years now. And everyone out there in the Truth community would be aware of Dave, and we're certainly here to give him support and find out how we can pitch in. So don't go anywhere. You're on TNT Radio.
Abroad or at home, this is your news.
By staying silent, we are part of the problem.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the program. I've got Dave O'Neagues on the line right now. Dave, you there?
I sure am, Jace. How are you?
Very good, thanks. How are you going?
Oh, you know, it's a roller coaster. It's up and down every day, mate, but I'm really well. Thanks for asking.
Good on you, Dave. I'm sure that when I was reading out those headlines, you thought, this guy must be crazy. Oh, hang on a second. It's 2022. They are all legit now. How bad is it?
It's all legit, and there's a lot more than that. There's so much going on, and I think a lot of us are just, you know, there's a lot of overwhelm happening at the moment. There's so much information coming through thick and fast. I'm really seeing people, you know, crack a little bit. In the Truth community and out there in the wider society, there's just so much going on. And I think at the moment, staying grounded and staying sane is the name of the game.
Yeah, well said, Dave. I tend to agree with you. Coming out of the election, it's the same thing. People are asking why we did so poorly. What do we do next? Where do we go? But it really is a time. And by that, I mean that we've got to get back to our normal lives and be able to improve where we can, become as self-sufficient as possible and embrace what's coming and therefore be able to brace what will come and hit us in the face. And at least we've got the advantage of knowing what is on its way so that we can prepare for it whilst the rest of society is completely out of sorts and doesn't really know what's going on and keeps following the more and more preposterous stories that are coming locally and internationally, right?
It's incredible. I can't imagine still being asleep 2.5 years into this agenda and still buying the mainstream narrative, especially this monkeypox play that they look like they might run. They sort of tested the water with monkeypox. There's been a bit of pushback there, and I don't know if anyone is going to buy it. And they're obviously addressing this thing they called vaccine fatigue, because they've just given most people, a lot of people have had up to 6 injections in the last 24 months. They might have had 4 for COVID and 2 for the flu. And it's a miracle they're still standing. I can't help but think that a lot of those people are determined not to wake up. There are a lot of people that there's a lot of vaccine regret out there now as well. But I think what we have to do as a community is be very, very aware that there's going to be a lot of people realizing that we've been right for a long time now. These conspiracy theories all turned out to be spoiler alerts, and we need to remain there for them. Because we've all woken up at different stages in our lives. We're all asleep at one point. And as difficult as it's been, a lot of these people threw us under the bus. They wouldn't let us in their businesses. They trolled us. They blocked us. They mocked us. But as people come out of this this slumber and realize what's been done to them, their bodies, their children, their parents, they're going to be angry, and we need to hold the line and try and keep this country together and this world for the fact.
Yes. You're dead right, and many of us will want to have our great big "I told you so" moment. But what's actually going to happen is the opposite. I think that the empathy for these people that have been completely betrayed by the authority that they've trusted, and I think what actually happens, Dave, is that the leaders emerge, and they will emerge out of our movement, not only because we've been ahead of the curve, but also because we're taking the moral high ground, so to speak, in a way to protect these poor people that have been completely destroyed at the hands of the people that we've warned them about. And of course, you take your tinfoil hat off for a moment and you turn it into a shield, and you protect your new your new countrymen who are absolutely suffering. And I don't know if we're going to be taken differently, or if we're going to be apologized to, or just looked up as like, wow, these people truly were trying to really help us out. And I don't think we're doing it for prizes or rewards or anything. We just knew the writing was on the wall and we're just trying to get to the new world as quickly as possible, but not their new world, not this Klaus Schwab Great Reset 1984 Brave New World disaster zone, but something completely different, which is kind of where we're headed to anyway in becoming more and more self-sufficient. That we've learnt over at least the last 2 years, if not the last five, right?
Look, absolutely. That's the whole key is the power of community. And a lot of people are going to join our community and we have to make it a community and I guess a movement, if you like, that people want to join. And if we do jump up and down and want to be vindicated and say, we told you so, that's not going to work. You know, we have to remember that for all their faults, the average person, and we're all flawed, but the average person's good nature and naivety was grossly taken advantage of. The average person said, wow, this virus sounds terrible. I don't want to spread it. I don't want to give it. And they've got that conditioning that they might have had a tetanus shot 10 years ago. They were fine with that. They're like, oh, no big deal. It's just an injection. They didn't know it was, you know, experimental advanced mRNA technology that's, you know, causing all sorts of different things we can talk about later. But we have to remember that the average person was deceived and duped. And as they wipe the sleep out of their eyes, we really need to, you know, remain honourable as best we can and keep growing our numbers. Because the only reason I ever started on this journey was I've always believed with mass awareness and a real genuine awakening of the truth, that's when the people realise our power and the institutions and the structures will start to disintegrate.
Yeah, well said. Dave, this show is going out to an international audience, and whilst our Australian truther community is very well aware of you and your huge audience, could you paint a picture for those around the world about how you sort of started out and how long ago that was and how it is that you've been able to get to where you are? Because what's become now is that you're kind of like the lead warrior in terms of volunteerism that's come out of the woodwork from the Lismore floods. And so you've gone off into yet another direction, and people who are looking to make contribution are following the work that you're doing. And certainly you're going to bring some people along in that area, and of course others will go into other areas. But it's such an important job that you've done, and it appears to be just organic. Was it just organic how this all started for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I started exposing the weather engineering. It'd be almost 10 years ago now, Jace. About 10 years ago, I started sharing photos, sharing information. I got laughed at. I got called a tin hat. I was taking photos and documenting them all around Australia. And obviously most people now are very well aware of the weather engineering that's going on, not just here but globally. But I never had much of an audience until it was about 6 months into COVID. It was actually August 6th of 2020 it would have been. And I remember watching Jenny Mikakis. She was down there in Victorian Parliament and she was just in complete contempt of Parliament. She wouldn't answer these questions. She'd obviously been gagged by Daniel Andrews or Big Pharma, and they were just asking these incredibly important questions that were in the public interest to know about COVID and so on. And she just kept refusing to answer. And I had this day. It was actually it was the anniversary of my sister's passing. I was already pretty emotional and I was just so disgusted at how easily our country was being deceived and duped into this medical apartheid, this agenda, this injection, and this lie of all time. And I got on my Facebook and I remember I'd had a couple of beers and I just started talking and I just unleashed. I just was screaming at Australia, like, wake the hell up. What are you doing? These people are criminals. They're going to inject you with a poison. You're suffocating yourself with these masks. And I'm paraphrasing, but I just went bananas. And I hit a nerve with a lot of people. I didn't realize what I'd done. I didn't really have much of an audience then at all. But, this was at the time we'd seen, you know, politicians getting fake injections with the cap still on and all this sort of stuff, this whole parade. Yes. And anyway, I turned the Facebook off. I ended the live. I went out for dinner with my fiance and I opened my phone up and it had a couple of 100,000 views in about half an hour. I was like, "Oh my gosh, what have I done? What have I done here?" And it was screen recorded. It was all over the internet. It was all over the world. And this was a time as well when there's all these mysterious planes flying in from China, and you know, Daniel Andrews had the flying in the night whilst Victoria or Melbourne was just in complete this lockdown, this curfew, this crazy curfew of Melbourne. I think it was from 9 p.m. till 5 a.m. or something. People locked in their homes, but it's all these planes flying in. Anyway, long story short, I blew my stack. It went viral, and then suddenly I had an audience, and people kept listening. And then that's when we started attending rallies and just started calling out the mainstream media for the lies that they've been pushing, pointing out the government's collusion with Big Pharma, the suppression of things like hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and all these different things. I just kept sharing that. I had multiple, they just kept banning me on Facebook because my Facebook account was kind of blowing up. They put me on 13 consecutive 30-day bans. So I kind of gave up on Facebook and I moved over to Telegram and just started sharing information there. They wiped two big Instagram accounts as well. There was one big one, then I had a backup. They wiped both of those, disappeared forever, which is a shame because there were some good rants in there, some good photos, some good memories. They're unfortunately lost forever. But and that's kind of how it grew, and it's been powerful to all I can say I do is people say, "Oh, you do so much." I don't really do that much. I just say what a lot of Aussies are thinking, and people resonate with that.
And there's certainly something about that, isn't there? I mean, this is why Pauline Hanson became such a political icon, that she just that people say the same thing about her, don't they? That she's just saying what we're thinking. But there's something in the ability to be able to put your finger on the pulse of what people are thinking, but thinking right now. And that might well be the difference. That and it also happens that when you can say it in such a way, say it off the cuff, and it comes from deep down, and everything that you know is correct, and people can go verify that, and that's probably why you get so much traction in what you're doing, Dave. But it's interesting that you would choose to have a subject that appealed to you, which was weather engineering.
Well, I've been a surfer my whole life,
and that's where you've cut your teeth.
Sorry, just dropped out there for a second. Sorry, go on, Jace.
No, that's all right. I was just saying that keep going with talking about the surfing in terms of how you got into weather engineering.
Well, yeah, look, I've always watched the weather closely and I've always looked at the sky. Even my mum was saying when I was a kid, I was always staring up at the sky all the time. And as surfers, we watch the high and low pressure systems very closely, the wind directions, the tides and so on. And I really hadn't noticed it until about 10 years ago. I was like, hang on a minute, this isn't normal. And I was introduced to a couple of videos on YouTube that were explaining what was going on with the various, aerosol deployment programs. There's many that have been going on for a long, long time. Even I think it was Operation Popeye in the Vietnam War, when they couldn't defeat the Viet Cong in the jungle. So they decided to try and flood them out. And the Viet Cong, as you know, had such a vast, elaborate underground tunnel network. And that was one of the strategies of the US military, was to flood them out. And so they cloud seeded and cloud seeded and cloud seeded and just made it rain and rain and rain and destroyed a lot of tunnels and really hindered some of their progress in that war. And so that's when I started to realize a type of war was being waged on Australia. And I think a lot of Aussies are now realizing there is a war being waged on us. It's been a propaganda war. It's been a weather war. It's now been a biological war, this thing that's been stuck into everyone two, three or four times even. Information war is out of control. Economic war, there's even food wars now are on their way. So as Australians come out of this slumber and realise we are under major attack, my hope is that Australians will galvanise and join together like we used to. And that's the difficulty with this challenge that we face, is that a lot of Aussies haven't realised we're at war yet. And so they're attacking us, the tin hats, thinking we're the bad guys, and we're trying to say, hey, we're trying to wake you up. We're trying to help you see that you're being attacked, you're being lied to, and the enemy has won the propaganda war in your mind. And so that's what I guess we try and do is, and I guess sometimes I cut through because I do get emotional, I do scream, I do get angry because I am enraged about what's been done to our people for the last you know, 2-3 years with this agenda. You know, the kids been traumatized, masked. You know, they opened up Qdos Stadium, Jace, opened it up for kids to come and be experimented on. And Brad Hazzard opened up the stadium there down in Sydney, and tens of thousands of kids went through and got poked with this thing. Like, where, how is this going to play out in the short to long term? Sorry, the medium to long term. And so all these sorts of things, you know, I've just been very passionate about, and people have resonated with what I say. And I've just only ever wanted to help Aussies see that they're being lied to.
That's right. And I tell you what, it's clearly resonated with the Australian people, those of who are waiting to find the right news and the right path. And it's very clear, Dave, that your finger's been on the pulse exactly at the right time through all of this. And that Qdos Arena with the high school kids being bussed in was a moment that at the beginning of this movement, when it was all sort of happening, that we thought this was the big one, that no one gets between a lioness and her cubs. Surely the parents are going to stand up and get in the way of the government, but they didn't. And the students, you know, as young as 15, 16, you know, racing out to get jabs, certainly the 16 pluses for the HSC, that was the big one. And these poor kids had a shocking 2 years at school, going from year 11 and year 12 doing their HSC and then having to be jabbed at the end of it just to qualify. And then, of course, we saw early on there was that high school student from St. Pius that appeared to have died after the injection. That was swept under the carpet. And then, of course, the fact checkers came out and just got everyone and just hid all the information. And, of course, it made us look like lunatics and crazy people in that moment. So there's so much more that we need to discuss. We've got to take a quick break, Dave. When we come back, let's get into a little bit more about what you're talking about in terms of the propaganda, the weather, the biological, the economic, the information, and the food wars, because there will be people that will tune into this show down the track and they'll go, wow, they were talking about this in June. It may now be September or October, but my goodness me, they were right about that, and they surely must have been right about a whole lot of stuff before. But don't go anywhere. You're on TNT Radio.
You should hear what George Eliason is talking about.
What would have happened in Donbass if Russia hesitated or waited a few days longer to start the military action?
We would not have an opportunity to talk right now. And for that moment, there would be many people would die. They would be killed by Ukrainian army.
Now, if Russia had to respond to that kind of attack instead of stopping it ahead of time, what would have been the outcome for Donbas?
So now what we see now is really the answer of Russia to what Ukraine had been done for 8 years. As we always say, Ukraine unleashed the war and was using the banned means and methods of warfare.
Aggression
towards their own people.
George Eliason on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Wokeness is infiltrating churches and people don't really know what's hitting them.
Critical race theory assumes that racism is everywhere, it is in everything. These ideologies have crept into the church.
I have grown up with this invisible kind of bag of privilege.
And I know, as a white pastor, I have blind spots.
Reparations fits into the scope of the gospel.
It's a racist worldview. You're swimming in racism.
The social justice warriors say, if you're white, you are racist. And if you say that you are not a racist, then you have to be a white supremacist.
I see within evangelicalism today an attack on the very gospel itself.
Social justice doesn't have to do with justice, it has to do with Marxism.
Wokeness is now the dominant academic paradigm on many university and college campuses.
Many of our Christian universities have fallen prey.
I went to an all-black school, raised in a black context. Everything was oppression. White people are racist, cops can't be trusted, and this world is not for us, it's against us. We felt like the government owed us. I have a family, I have children, and I don't have a job. I was just, it was at the darkest point in my life.
Because I was white, would we have to divorce and separate due to my skin color?
Christianity enables people to find forgiveness and redemption. However, Marxism is completely vindictive.
There is no redeemer and there is no redemption in the religion of anti-racism.
I believe that the evangelical church today is going to have to make a decision. Are we going to submit to the culture, or are we going to remain true to the faith and take the consequences?
How the left is stealing your church. The invasion of the gospel of woke at salemnow.com.
Before I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I thought all the people that I knew who didn't drink were self-righteous people, holier than thou. So it never occurred to me that Alcoholics Anonymous was filled with people who had drank like I did, and now were the same people that I used to drink with, the same people that I liked, only now they weren't drinking. They were people just like me who had been drinking for a long time and found out that it didn't work for them anymore.
Visit AA.org for more information and download the Meeting Guide app to find a meeting near you.
So, you support green energy? Ask yourself this. How many native birds were killed by wind turbines today? Protect humanity and stop the green madness. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to Jason Q, Citizen and Friends. And on the show today, Dave O'Neeks has joined us. We've been discussing all things about the propaganda war that we're going through. And we'd just like to dig a little bit deeper into that now, Dave, if we can. Obviously, we've talked about the weather wars and the engineering that you were watching primarily as a surfer growing up. Then you're talking about now we're moving into obviously the propaganda wars in terms of where we're going and then the biological war that followed it on. How did you put it all together? What were you seeing?
Great question. I first read, I'm not sure if you know the book, Behold a Pale Horse by William Cooper. Read that a long time ago. He was like one of the original gangsters. He was ex-US Secret Service, and then he was really blowing, I guess, the whistle on this agenda a long time ago. He called out 9/11 before it happened, and they ended up shooting him on his doorstep. And so I guess for a long time, I've been aware that there was going to be, you know, this globalist agenda roll out. And once I knew that, it was fairly simple to put the pieces together. And now with the benefit of the internet, we have so many people sharing and discussing what's being planned and what's being rolled out, and we can see it. And now we just need to try and prepare for it as best we can, because I think the big ones that they're planning is the financial one. That's right on the cards very, very soon. Some sort of financial apocalyptic event, if you like. I think this year, just as a prediction, and I'll put this on the record, I think the US dollar is going to go into severe peril in the not too distant future in this year. I think the US dollar crash, we're already seeing the first signs of the hyperinflation, but when it really crashes, because it's going to be a lot of countries, they're going to start offloading the dollar, because the whole petrodollar scheme is falling apart. It used to be always oil in US dollars per barrel, and now Russia's pulled out of that. They're doing oil in rubles. The last people who tried to do that were the Iraqis when they wanted to get out of the petrodollar, and we saw what happened to Iraq under Saddam Hussein. He wanted to get euros for his oil. And so I think what we're going to see this year is this massive financial war, and it's going to be rough. People need to be preparing, and there's not really any asset class. And look, I'm obviously not qualified for financial advice, but no asset class will be safe. Even gold, silver, and so on, cash, etc., everything will be devalued. Even Bitcoin will dramatically fall as people start to sell off with their margin loans and so on. The crash of the US dollar will be probably the biggest event in world history if it completely crashes. And we need to brace ourselves for that. We need to have things that are going to be able to weather the storm, because we know there is the Great Reset is going to need to have pretty much the annihilation of a lot of currencies, if not all of them. What that's going to look like, we don't really know. But this is where I say to people, invest in things that you can trade, things that you can have. Like, just say, for instance, like if it gets, who knows how rough it's going to get, Jace, you know, like how wild it could get. But we're definitely in uncharted waters. But thinking about things like your vehicle, your food supplies, temporary accommodation. You may have just seen I put a rooftop camper on my truck. who knows? Who knows if I'm going to be able to afford to live in the place I'm renting? I've already got frozen bank accounts. And I've just seen in, particularly in Lismore and the Northern Rivers, thousands of people have their homes destroyed, living in tents, and just didn't see it coming. Living in cars, there's still hundreds of families living in cars in the region. There's still many, many, many homes with 20, 30, even more than 30 people in a three-bedroom home because they've just got nowhere to go. We helped and when I say we helped, I connected a modular home company with a family down there in Lismore. And they got this family a modular home just recently. And this family, Jace, had been living for 90 days, just over 90 days, in tents, in a paddock with 8 kids, right?
Wow.
And the government's not there to help. They had 7 kids and a premature baby, right? 8 kids. And so people need to understand that they've got to get organized, whether it be floods, natural disasters, economic collapse, extended blackout, anything is on. And you can even, I remember just before this war in Ukraine kicked off, and it looked like Putin was going to make his move, and they were just showing these Ukrainian cities, and it was like the quiet before the storm. Those people could not have imagined, like the city of Mariupol, that place is completely leveled now. They could not have imagined what was on the horizon, you know, a few weeks ahead of them. And so we have to think the same as well. Like, as much as I don't like to be pessimistic, we have to prepare for anything and just hope for the best.
Yes, we do. And what people might be thinking is, why is all this happening and why would it all be so deliberate? And then we arrive at the idea of a one world government and the idea that a very, very exclusive group of elite mad men and women have decided that they somehow hold the mortgage on planet Earth and it's become their time in history to take it over. Is it that obvious? Is it that simple, or are we still wearing our tinfoil hats?
Oh, no, it's definitely that simple, and it's become that obvious. And the only way to enforce globalism is to scare people into it. And they've got two main boogeymen. They've got plandemics and they've got climate change. Because you can say a pandemic reaches the whole world. There's a virus, there's an outbreak, it's contagious, it's just shown up in someone's plane, it went through the mail, whatever, and it's going to infect the whole world. And so we need a global organization that's going to, you know, keep us all safe from the next outbreak. And then the same thing goes, because obviously the weather affects the entire planet, we're going to now use the weather, climate events as justification for, you know, a global centralized control, global mandates. Everyone's got to do this, do the right thing by the global community. Otherwise, you know, your carbon footprint's going to cause us to get floods and, you know, whatever. So that's their two boogeymen. And even seeing Scott Morrison just prior to the election, when he said that he fully supported the World Health Organization having, for want of a better term, authority over our health system here. That is just a radical statement that the autonomy of our own bodies and our own health is going to somehow be dictated to by people who aren't even Australian, who were never elected. You have to be kidding. And I think that's I guess the frustration is, Jason said, how could he possibly say that on television and there not be incredible outrage and uproar?
Yes, but this is nothing.
This is the challenge that we face, is that there's still a lot of Aussies asleep at the wheel. And I think the mission for us at the moment is to try and wake them up before it is too late. Hopefully people could stop taking any more of these jabs. But I feel like a lot of those are ticking time bombs as well. We've seen the numbers. I ran a poll in my chat the other night, or a comment thread. I just said, hey, who knows someone who's been personally injured by the injections? And the comment thread, Jace, is heartbreaking. There's thousands of comments, literally thousands of comments of people describing the injuries to their loved ones. It's truly heartbreaking.
Yes. And this is the point, isn't it? Because they can't even say it out loud for fear, they're going to be wiped out socially, you know, however it may be. They just can't speak out about it. And when people actually do try, that's when they realize and they wake up in the moment. The thing is, right, all of this stuff that's going on, the pandemics, the climate change, the ushering in of globalism, a one world government, the question is, why do they want a one world government. It can't just be about power and control and profit. They already have power, control, and profit. There's something else in that agenda. And for mine, it's obviously the D word, depopulation. And again, they bring it up, and you can see it in the Georgia Guidestones and dropping the world population by 95% down to under 500 million, which in and of itself makes no sense. Where do they get that number from? Why do they want to depopulate? And therefore, for mine, it's kind of like, well, hang on a second. Why don't we just get to the stage now, instead of saying depopulation, if that's where we're headed, why aren't we looking off planet, given the fact that that now, of course, the UAP, the Unidentified Aerial Phenomena, has been officially conceded by the US military, so we're already there. And of course, that goes down to another pathway as well. But why can't we just embrace it, that it's time to start thinking that humans can start colonizing other planets? Why is that so taboo a subject?
Look, I'm not really sure. And you know, there's other planets, there's other dimensions. There's so much more on offer, and I don't really know where this is all headed on a planetary level. I do tend to lean more and more to the Bible as I grow older and I learn more about the prophecies in there. And as we yes. watch the Book of Revelation pretty much unfold each day. And whenever I get down and I feel flat and I feel overwhelmed at the magnitude of the evil that we're up against, I do, you know, think of that passage there at the end of Revelation where it says God makes a new heaven and a new earth and all the tears are wiped away. And it just makes me think what is going to happen on this planet, for want of a better term, energetically or spiritually. Does this world that we live in, does it fundamentally change from being a fallen world? Because you've only got to look around at the pain and the misery and the suffering. There's something fundamentally wrong with this world. It is fallen. It is dark. And if you look at the biblical prophecy, it talks about how, you know, Satan kind of gets a bit of a run. Not everyone wants to, you know, discuss that. There might be, you know, different atheists and so on who don't really subscribe to that sort of belief. But according to that model is that, yeah, you know, Satan sort of takes control of the earth for a while and builds this counterfeit reality. And this character apparently appears, the Antichrist, who's sort of like the world leader. And you can see that is, in my opinion, where we're headed. We're headed for this one world government, a one world currency, a one world religion of types, which we're seeing unfold by the day in this wokeism and these agendas being pushed on everyone everywhere, all in the name of so-called tolerance. And it looks like it does get pretty dark, unfortunately, before the new heaven and the new earth, and it's somehow resolved for eternity. And I think that that's an incredible thing to look forward to at the same time. I think we have to brace ourselves mentally and spiritually for whatever may come. Because if you look at I often look, Jay, at how is all this rolling out so seamlessly in so many countries through so many institutions all around the world with perfect orchestration? It's supernatural. And
yes,
there is, you know, what Christian pastors would call an antichrist spirit that has infected a lot of people, and they don't know. And this is also the strong delusion that you see people when you can show them the facts right in front of their face, and you just can't get through to them because there is this, it is literally a spell that they're under. And you've only got to look at the logos of the World Health Organization, you know, the snake wrapped around and moving up and so on. Like, all their symbolism tells you that this is a spiritual and satanic agenda. And it's up to us to just keep holding the light of truth and hold on to the hope that there is a happy ending when we get through all this at some point.
Yes. And one does hope that that day comes sooner rather than later, but it feels like it has to play out in real time, and whatever that timing is what we have to go through. Hence the reason why we're talking about becoming more self-sufficient, working together as community, and realizing the spiritual context in which we are living every day out. And I'm not surprised, Dave, at just how many people are rediscovering the Creator in all of this, and in particular embracing Christianity at a rate I've never seen. I've even heard stories of Muslims becoming Christians now overseas, and that just blows my mind that that there must be something in the prophecy, and people are certainly looking for these answers. And as we move forward, I'm interested in what you said before when you said the world is fallen and dark. And a really good way to test that, I think, is to ask yourself, if you did win a little bit of money and you're able to travel somewhere in the world, where would you actually want to go? I think of it often, and there is nowhere really that I want to go to visit. I certainly would travel if I could to go and visit friends. But in terms of destinations and going out there, there's nowhere I want to go anymore because I just feel like the world is that fallen. Does that resonate with you?
Very, very much so. It's so interesting you say that because I put up a poll in the channel the other night, you know, would you leave Australia if you could, or would you just stay here and fight? And the majority of people said they'll stay. This is our hill. This is our home. And it very much feels like that, Jace, like anywhere in the world that you go to is going to face these sorts of things. And even some of the more remote places, like, say, for instance, Samoa. I've been to Samoa. I went surfing in Samoa years ago. Beautiful island, incredible food, fishing, lovely people. But they were completely bullied into submission with these injections. To the point where they were really going around and, you know, they weren't allowed out of their homes. It was very much a standover, almost forced injection campaign for people. They just couldn't eat or leave without being injected. So there seems to be nowhere that's 100% safe. I've got quite a few people going to Mexico at the moment that I know. I've got friends moving to Europe. But for me personally, look, I'd love to do a little surf trip over to Fiji at the moment or Tahiti. I'd love to go over to Tahiti. But, you know, my grandfather served in the war, Jace, and I love this country. And I'm not about to just, you know, pack up and go. I'll stay in Australia, come what may. I believe this is something very special about Australia and why we're being targeted to the point that we are. I think there's so much of the New World Order that they're trying to roll out here. There's so many globalist objectives that they really seek to meet here. And I'm not quite sure why that is. Obviously, we're isolated. We're cut off. We're like a good little Petri dish, if you like, where they can do their clinical trials and their social engineering. And I guess the concern that we have now is that the last 2 years has really been a test run. It was as much a medical experiment as it was a social experiment, and they wanted to test Australian compliance. And with the QR codes, the injections, the border closures, all this sort of thing, we failed. We failed miserably.
Yes, we did.
We slid into medical apartheid with barely even a whimper. It was just ghastly. You know, I've been turned away from hospitals because I'm not injected, and we've seen outrageous police brutality, mothers, pregnant mothers arrested, you know, women choked on the street for not wearing masks. We saw, and that alone, Jace, a woman being choked out, a young woman, you'd remember the footage from Melbourne. She was held up against the wall and choked for not wearing a mask. And it's like, at what point did Australia lose its moral compass that that's okay? Like how we are, and I think this is part of why all this has to play out, because we're going to suffer, and the suffering is going to get us on our knees. And once we're back on our knees, we're going to beg for God to come back into our lives and into this country and into the world. And so I think every single person who is wide awake in this community would probably say that the last 2 years has brought them closer to God and made them contemplate their mortality and made them want to get right with the Creator. I'm sure most people really resonate with that. I know for me, you know, God wasn't a huge part of my life, as big a part. It was always there, but not like it is now, because I realize the times that we're in, and that's the only way out of this. We cannot have faith in man and woman. We're flawed beings. We all make mistakes. We can have faith in our I guess, in each other to a degree, but ultimately our faith and our trust has got to come into, the divine creator who can help us out of this mess.
Well said, Dave. Look, there's so much more that we want to and need to talk about in this chat today. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to explore that concept that you brought up before. Why was Australia the one that was the test ground or the petri dish for this new world order revolution that's going on? I've got a few ideas I want to throw at you. Don't go anywhere. You're on TNT Radio.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th. With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Jeremy Beck.
Not everything went well for former President Donald Trump in the 7th of June primaries. Five of the 35 House Republicans who voted to create a bipartisan commission to investigate the so-called January 6th insurrection at the Capitol appeared on ballots on Tuesday. And at this stage, all of them appear to have survived to fight another day. Of course, Trump has been very keen to see the end of these breakaway Republicans or rhinos. And many Americans are understandably upset about the harsh treatment which the pro-Trump protesters have endured. By far, the vast majority who entered the Capitol building were peaceful and cannot be fairly lumped alongside the few violent agitators. But most voters will likely be more concerned about issues directly impacting them today. The failing economy, of course, is the factor which numerous opinion polls show is the most important concern for Americans. I'm Jeremy Beck for TNT Radio.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
For the news and views you can't hear anywhere else, it's TNT Radio.
Welcome back to Jason Q, Citizen and Friends. On the show today, Dave O'Neagues is here, and we're having a terrific chat about world affairs and how Dave became the force that he has become in the Australian Truther movement. And we're just talking about destinations that you may travel to or wish to travel to, and both of us feel like there's not that many places that you'd actually want to go to now anyway. But before that, we were talking about the idea of Australia becoming the petri dish of this globalist takeover. And I wonder, Dave, if it's the idea that we are behind the revolution here in Australia, we're always last to the table. When we were watching lockdowns around the world, England pulled out of theirs, America went back to normal, and we were still living heavily in the lockdown phase and waiting and waiting and waiting. And it wasn't until Omicron sort of arrived that Dominic Perrottet let us out here in New South Wales. And of course, the case numbers took off immediately, although the survival rate, or fatality rate, I should say, was as high as 1 in 5,000 people actually succumbing from the virus, win, lose, or draw, meaning whether you were sick or not, whether you'd taken the jab or not. So it was pretty meaningless at that point. But we've gone on now to more than 8 million cases from 250,000 at Christmas, and we've gone from 2,000 deaths to over 8,000 deaths. So we're probably the worst performing country in the world per capita anywhere else. But I feel like that Australia was chosen because we are always last to the table. So if they can do something here first, we're too asleep at the wheel to even notice. And perhaps that's the case. And coming out of that election, realizing that we were trying to sort of jumpstart the global revolution out of Australia with a Freedom Party revolution that unfortunately didn't happen, that maybe now we do look forward to America and hope that the 2,000 mules story will be enough to provoke some real watching of the ballot and maybe a Republican takeover of the House there, which gets the Trump movement jump-started. Do you think that this might be the case why Australia was targeted, because we are so asleep at the wheel?
Oh, we got targeted because we're soft. We are soft. I think we're one of the softest countries in the world, and not a lot of Aussies don't want to hear that. We've sort of, you know, prided ourselves on being hardy people, but it's just proven to be otherwise. And I think it's because there's been no hard times in living memory. You know, it wasn't since the middle of the 1940s, the end of the Second World War, that Australians had experienced hardship. And all those people who endured that war, they've all passed on now. And so for the last 80 years, Jace, we've had this incredible run of this beautiful country and incredibly high standard of living, very low crime rate when you compare to the rest of the world, and we haven't really had to fight for anything. And so I think they would have identified us as being a relatively small population, unarmed, very, very soft, and not so comfortable to the point that we would do anything to keep our creature comforts, including being experimented on with two or three jabs of a magical potion. And so this is unfortunately the cycle that we're going to move through, is that the hard times are going to toughen us up again, and we're going to appreciate what we had. And I just hope it doesn't get to the point that we don't realize what we had until it's gone. And I think a lot of people now, like I've even been watching Ben Fordham stuff, like he's snapping a lot of people out of the slumber. He's been doing a great job. I'm not sure if he just wants to cover his butt because the mainstream media pushed the injections so hard, but now the mandates are finally being, you know, stopped in many places. But going back to why we're targeted, I think I think there's been a lot of people here for a long time who are deeply a part of this cabal that we face. They've had their roots here for a long time, and then because the general population has had it so good for so long that the compliance has been extraordinarily high. Like I said before, medical apartheid with barely even a whimper. Most people actually clapped and cheered it on, and now they're realizing that, I can't get this thing out of me.
Yes, and that's the thing, isn't it? And I always thought that the great awakening for all the different ways we've tried to predict it will be the great injury, will be the way that people will eventually wake up because it will affect them personally. Dave, we're down to our last 3 minutes here. I was just hoping that you could give everyone a little bit of a taste of what you're up to yourself right now and to promote any of the work that you're doing so that the audience can engage with you.
Yeah, look, at the moment I'm just running the Telegram channel, which is always current and up to date. I'm also doing my merchandise to stay afloat with my brand All Rights Reserved. I'm working on a project where I'll start doing some podcasts and interviews as well, so I'll have more on that a bit later. But as far as the community goes, we can't broadcast too much about what we're doing because the trolls keep trying to derail what we do. But say, for instance, just down there at Corakai, there's been no boats servicing that region. There's 130 farms down there. And so we put a shout out on the channel. We raised enough money to get two boats for the community down there for the next flood. There's a modular homes project that we've teed up with a company also in Lismore who's getting modular homes to families who are living in cars. And so we're just using the power of our community to support these projects and stay in touch with families on the ground, because as of the 30th of June, all the hubs are actually closing that are meant to be providing relief for the community, and they're also going to stop accepting people's requests for grants as well. So the community is pretty much just going to be left to fend for themselves after these apocalyptic floods. So what we're doing is raising funds, connecting people direct with companies, and just working with the right people who want to get the job done. It's good fun.
Oh, it's amazing. It's hard to believe that that an individual can make such a difference and at such a level. I'm assuming that the people who are getting involved are happy to be a part of it and not necessarily going through the process that happened in the freedom political movement of too many egos spoiling the movement. And it seems to that you're doing something quite incredible. Have you thought about ever running politically, or is that something that is not your cup of tea?
No, look, it's sort of crossed my mind a little bit, but not my cup of tea at this stage. At the moment, you know, I think the real name of the game is just getting Aussies awake. You know, the fact that these elections came through and there was a lot of misinformation, a lot of deception there as well. Still, we haven't got the numbers. So I think even to go and enter into a political system, whilst we still haven't got the message out there, would be kind of futile. The real message right now is the power of community. That's what Australians have to realise, is how incredibly powerful we are when we stand together. You know, there's a court case coming up for Nick Patterson. I think he's going to need about 100K. Now, if the 10,000 of us who put in $10, there's 100 grand. It's so easy. We don't have to do a lot. And people think, Dave, you do so much. I don't really do that much. And I just connect people. We use the platform. we reach out. And that's where the leverage is in the numbers, the incredible power that the people possess when we stand together. United we stand, and that's got to be the message. Because if they let us divide us over all these different things that they're throwing at us, all these different issues and so on, then we're going to tear each other apart. And that's why we've always said we didn't care if anyone was vaxxed or unvaxxed when we were rescuing them during the floods. Who cares? We just want to stand together, unvaxxed or vaxxed. It doesn't matter. As long as you care about Australia, you care about our sovereignty, you care about the kids, and you care about our freedom, then we're all on the same page, and let's stick together.
Yeah, look, no one could have said it any more perfectly than you've put it tonight. It's been a terrific interview. It's flown by. I wish we had another hour to keep going, and perhaps I can invite you back on in the near future and we can continue the discussion. But Dave O'Neeks, thank you very much for joining us on the show today. A true inspiration and a real community leader, and it's no wonder that you've got such great success and people thriving because of the work that you're doing. And thank you very much for being with us here on TNT Radio. Up next, Rick Munn with his two-hour blockbuster. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to TNT Radio.